Following podcast is edited from the live Voices of Montana program, Montana's original statewide radio talk show that's heard Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. The show has been airing for more than 20 years. Contact your local radio station if you'd like to hear the program live in your area and it's currently not available. The show is also streamed live on voicesofmontana.com. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program, inviting you to contact us with comments or show ideas. The email address is studio@voicesofmontana.com. 26,000 farms in Montana? Does that seem like a lot? You know, I read that and I thought, that doesn't seem like a lot, especially when you think about the $3.5 billion impact that these farms have on Montana's economy. And is there anybody within the sound of my voice here today that doesn't know a farmer specifically, if you're not one yourself? All right, I think the state, all of Montana, linked to agriculture, always have been. So today we're going to discuss leadership training, talk to some of Montana's young farmers and ranchers, and explore the issues facing the industry. It's Ag Day today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, it's Tom Schultz.
You're loving it.
Yeah.
Gosh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm loving it, too. It's a Monday. I love Mondays. No, I'm just kidding. I can't trust that day. But nonetheless, Mondays are Mondays. So then you might as well get out there and kick a little bit, okay? Hope you had a good weekend. Good to have you joining us. That's two decades strong, working on three Voices of Montana, an objective perspective. And I appreciate you making us a part of your Montana mornings for that long as well. Okay, as I'm talking about agriculture, you know, last week was the Montana Farm Bureau Federation convention. It was supposed to be the annual members meeting, however you want to describe it. It was supposed to be in person here in Billings, but we've got this pandemic. So everybody is either canceling, and now though that we are maybe 8, 9 months into this pandemic, we're realizing, look, we've got to carry on our business. So they did carry on kind of a virtual hybrid convention. We'll talk about how that worked out for them a bit later on because I'm curious about that. But I'm using that as a reason to get back into Montana agriculture, kind of discuss the issues. Like I said last week, it seems like we take it for granted sometimes, but it is still our largest industry at $3.3 to $5 billion on the annual economic impact. And that depends, you know, on how commodity prices are and how good things are and just a lot of things. When you look at farming and ranching around the world, antitrust violations here in the United States being looked at, there's been a recent recovery in the wheat market. We'll talk a bit later on some of those issues and specifically some things that are happening in Montana. Hans McPherson will be with us. He's the Montana Farm Bureau Federation President, and Nicole Rolf is the National Affairs Director and the Eastern Regional Manager. That's later on. Also a bit later on, we'll talk about young farmers, and there's a program called, it's actually the Montana Farm Bureau Young Farmer and Rancher Program, and so we'll talk with J.M. Peck, who chairs that program, and Sue Ann Stroyfert, who's a young farmer and rancher in that program as well. But first, how does leadership happen? Let's welcome Chelsea Cargill, who is the ACE Program Coordinator, and ACE stands for Advocate, Communicate, and Educate. Good morning, Chelsea. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm great. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for being here. Why don't you introduce Joy? Joy's and good morning, Joy. Joy DePute, the 2020 ACE program graduate, and she's also the Montana Farm Bureau District 7 director and a cattle rancher from Saco. How you doing, Joy?
I'm good.
Thank you for being here. Chelsea, talk about your program, and then Joy, I'm going to have you describe, your experiences through this program as well and how it helped you become a better farm leader. But Chelsea, what is ACE?
Thanks, Tom. ACE is Montana Farm Bureau's Advocacy and Leadership Program, and it's a program that I've had the privilege of coordinating for almost 4 years now, and was something that started as a bit of a pipe dream of mine earlier in my career with Montana Farm Bureau, and we've been able to really bring it to fruition. The program is a one-year leadership program open to members of Montana Farm Bureau, and we focus a lot on, of course, personal and professional development as leaders, but then also we focus much of our resource and our time on how we take that personal and professional development and we take our leadership skills and we actually put them back to work for agriculture and for rural Montana in our communities around the state.
Did you feel there was a leadership gap?
I think that there is. And for me, the place that I saw that most often was during my tenure as the Director of State Affairs for Montana Farm Bureau, in which I had the opportunity to not only work very closely with lawmakers in Helena, but I was also a conduit between our farming and ranching membership and those legislators in Helena. And time again, I would know on a personal level that our farming and ranching members were very talented, they were smart, and they knew exactly the issues that needed to be discussed, but they didn't feel as though their voice was one that needed to be heard, or they didn't feel that they had all the tools to be able to stand up and discuss these really important issues impacting rural Montana. And so it was then that I really began to develop the program and think about what sort of resources I wanted to be able to provide people. And as I've been able to see the program unfold through going on four groups of people now, it's really reiterated for me that advocacy follows leadership. And when we have leaders in rural Montana and in agriculture who feel empowered and confident and they can identify the needs clearly, they will more readily take the initiative to stand up and communicate those needs to lawmakers and the public.
Yeah, and that's the very reason why I'm excited about programs like this, especially in the ag industry, because you equip leaders. Sometimes they're just born and fall into it, but I think for advocacy, to communicate, to educate, I think equipping leaders is a real good program. We'll have to take a break here, short break, come on back, and then we'll hear from the 2020 ACE program graduate. She's part of a cattle ranch near Saco, and the Montana Farm Bureau District 7 Director, Joy Depute, will be joining us here in just a bit on Voices of Montana. We'll talk to leadership a bit later on. We'll talk to some young farmers and ranchers as well on the program, sort of an ag day today here on Voices of Montana. Chelsea Cargill, this is about creating leadership, the ACE program coordinator for the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. And Joy Depute, the A2020 ACE program graduate, a cattle rancher from Saco. Joy, let's talk about this program. As Chelsea had said, we have a certain amount of education about some things. We are able to communicate to a certain degree and advocate to a certain degree. But to be real leaders in our ag industry, what did you get out of this ACE program for that?
The ACE program was very diverse. First, we kind of worked on personality profile to determine really what our five core strengths are in moving forward as in leadership. And we also learned what other kinds of personalities, how we can better communicate with those people. And we talked a lot about communication, the need to communicate with others, the need to really truly listen. I think a lot of times we don't take the time to really find out what someone's concerns are, and where they are coming from with a opinion they may have. And we really learn to listen, be empathetic, and then work on our communication skills so that we have a productive conversation that can lead to good things happening. And the speakers that come in to ACE they're just wowing. They come from all over. Communication, they, teach us how to speak to media, what we need to do when we're speaking with our legislative group. They don't have a lot of time. We need to be concise when we come to talk to them, tell them what we need, and move on, because they really don't have a lot of time, especially in the legislative session, to sit and listen to us forever.
Let me ask you this. What are you going to do now? Now that you've become a graduate of this program, you've got some tools. What are you going to do with them?
Well, in our own community, our Farm Bureau chapter is only 5 years old. And so really, for me, I want to come back in our own community and find out what we need. What do the farmers and ranchers want in our community as far as education goes? What we can do to help the youth get involved in agriculture, teach the kids about agriculture, and I'm a nurse by trade, and so I also really want to focus on egg safety for adults and children in our area. I also want to, you know, I have big pie in the sky ideas, because that's what happens when you go to ACE. You know, I want to get more people involved and develop leaders myself. Because I'm a non-traditional ag person, I feel I didn't grow up. I grew up around agriculture, but I didn't grow up on a farm, put it that way. Mm-hmm. And I certainly have lived on the farm for 30 years, so it's not like this is completely foreign to me. But I know there are other people in the ag industry, just like Chelsea said, who really know this industry, and I want to encourage them to step forward and speak for ag.
That's nice. Thank you, Joy, for being on the program and for going through that. We're going to run out of time, but Chelsea, I want to let you kind of wrap it up. We've got about a minute here. I know that the process is open for the 2021 class, so let's kind of get that information out there. But what can we expect from our Montana leaders?
You can expect to see these people being very vocal and visible in their rural communities. One of the things I say over and over to the people who participate in this program is that I want them to become the catalyst for change in their communities. I want them to use Farm Bureau and the resources that they've learned about as the catalyst for change. So expect to see them be vocal and expect to see them be visible. And Tom, you're right. We do have an application process currently open for the 2021 program. And those applications can be found on the Montana Farm Bureau website, which is www.mfbf.org. And those applications are due December 1st.
Chelsea.
And please go ahead and contact me with any questions or to learn more about the program.
Chelsea, enjoy. Thanks for your time. Like I said, the size or the amount of farms in Montana, around 27, almost just under 27,000. That number has slowly decreased over the past several years, 27,048 in 2017, and then 26,900, I think, in 2018, and just 100 less in 2019. So but still, as I mentioned, you know, $3 to $5 billion on the economy. As we kind of look at some of these farm and ranch figures here, as far as the of the 20 almost 27,000 farms, about 10,000 of them are cattle and calf operations. And so anywhere from right around 45% to 50% of our total farm income for the state of Montana, as I mentioned, it varies from $3 to $5 billion a year, is right there in cattle and calf operations. We're going to talk about some young ranchers here, young farmers and ranchers, because the Montana Farm Bureau Federation has a program to encourage our young farmers and ranchers. J.M. Peck is a cattle rancher from Melrose and chairs the Farm Bureau's Farm and Ranch Committee. And also Sue Ann Stroyford is with us with the Montana Farm Bureau Federation, and she's also a member of that program. First, J.M., how you doing?
Great. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on here. Sue Ann, what about you? You doing good?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having us.
How are things on the farm, ranch?
They're good. The sun is shining on us this morning, and things are good.
Good. Sue Ann, why are you a part of this program? What's important about being a young farmer and rancher to you?
Okay, so first of all, I'm actually the coordinator for the Young Farmer and Rancher Program with the Montana Farm Bureau, and I grew up on a farm in far eastern Montana, Savage, so this Young Farmers and Ranchers is very near and dear to my heart, and I've been the coordinator for 15 years, and I'm excited to be a part of young people getting involved in agriculture.
JM, then the question goes to you. Why are you a young farmer and rancher?
You know, we were born and raised on my family's ranch here in Melrose, Montana. And I actually worked off the ranch for several years before I had the opportunity to come back. And that was a long and sometimes, you know, difficult process, but I made it here through a lot of hard work. And, you know, I like being involved with the Young Farmers and Ranchers program because it's so important to engage our young folks and help them find the resources they need, not to only get back to maybe their family operation, but also to get started in agriculture. We know that it's a difficult industry to start in as a young person. And the great thing that Farm Bureau does is it helps give young folks the resources to be able to come back and be successful in the field of agriculture.
Yeah, did you explore other career opportunities or ideas, JM?
I did, actually. You know, when I graduated from high school, you know, I wanted nothing more than to come back and work on the ranch. But at that time, just, you know, with the ranch and the financial situation and the situation of my family, that just wasn't on the table for me personally. So I went to college and pursued a career outside of agriculture and worked there for almost 10 years before I the opportunity presented itself to come back to the ranch. And when that opportunity presented itself, I took it, and it was, you know, a lot of the tools I've been able to gain through Farm Bureau have helped me be successful.
What are some of those tools, Sue? What are some of the first tools that you need to put in a young farmer or rancher's hands?
Well, I think just some of the, you know, the programs we do, you know, we have a summer convention every year where we bring in speakers, networking, you know, some of the tools around how to get started, financial planning. I think that's a huge one that we do. And, you know, we do that around convention time twice a year when we're able to get in and, you know, bring in some experts and have some seminars that are part of your membership with Farm Bureau. I know there's some really important things we learn and teach our young farmers and ranchers around. Marketing and financial planning and market volatility and things like that. You know, those are all skills that are incredibly needed and incredibly important. But also, I think the other aspect of being a part of our Young Farmers and Ranchers program is the opportunity to network and get to know other young farmers and ranchers around the state and learn about their challenges. And oftentimes we can learn a lot that way by just being able to network and talk to other folks facing the same problems we are.
J.M. Peck, a cattle rancher from Melrose. He's also the program chair for the Montana Farm Bureau Federation's Young Farmer and Rancher Program. The program coordinator is Sue Ann Stroyfert. And Sue Ann, I wanted to ask you, you know, to talk about J.M.'s story a little bit. And it seems like, I mean, I don't have my finger on the pulse when it comes to ag, but it seems like ever since we started to put a focus on training our young farmers and ranchers or encouraging them, that there's been at least some excitement about a youth movement in our farming and ranching community.
You know, I really agree with you. We actually have 4 collegiate chapters across Montana, and I love working with them. They have so much enthusiasm for the industry and the future of our industry, and these young people are really, they're really motivated to get out there and lead, make a difference, step up, get their voice heard. So I love working with this age group, and again, we are getting them started right away at the collegiate level, getting them trained, empowering them to speak on behalf of agriculture, and yeah, just kind of get them moving up through the pipeline of leadership in agriculture, and it's pretty exciting.
If you look at agriculture, you're talking about Montana's water resources, you're talking about wildlife management, you're talking about delisting of predator species, you're talking about education, and you know, you're talking about just plain working the landscapes day in and day out. Our farmers and ranchers have been on that landscape year in and year out, and they continue here as we talk about ag today. On this part of the program, J.M. Peck, cattle rancher from Melrose, Sue Ann Stroyfert with the Montana Farm Bureau Federation, a program coordinator. It's about young farmers and ranchers. A bit later on, we'll talk with leadership. Hans McPherson, MFBF president, and Nicole Rolfe will be alongside to talk about the recovery in the wheat market. Let's talk about delisting. Let's talk about maybe antitrust violations, a lot of issues facing farmers and ranchers. And Sue, I'll start with you on this. With all those issues facing farmers and ranchers, the next generation of farmers and ranchers, I didn't mention rural broadband, but that's another issue that farmers and ranchers deal with. And so tech has obviously kind of moved the needle a little bit, and maybe that's what is interesting to a lot of our young farmers and ranchers.
Yeah, and those are issues that Farm Bureau is working on all the time. Rural broadband issues, anything with rural communities. We are really trying to build up those rural communities and make them more desirable for young people to come back to. It's definitely a way of life, and there are a lot of positives about it. And so as an organization, a lot of the programming that we do is building up our rural communities and encouraging people to go back to those rural communities and make those places better to live, just kind of more desirable for them to raise a family and start businesses and go back to agriculture.
JM, was that in your heart when you went back to agriculture?
Oh, it absolutely was. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, that lifestyle that is the agriculture in our community too, because it is much more broad than just agriculture and the ranch. It's these rural communities in Montana that, you know, were our homes and that, you know, we want to get back to if we can make it work.
What are some of the issues that you think that young farmers and ranchers, JM, are going to maybe steer in a more positive direction or make a difference because of some of the things that you bring to the table?
Yeah, well, I think when we look at population shifts, that's a lot to us as a group. And then looking to 30 years.
Hey, JM? JM, are you in a place where you're getting bad reception?
Normally all the time I am.
I suppose. All right.
Another rural issue.
Yeah, right. All right, try it again. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we were kind of losing you.
Is it better now?
Nope, it's not. No, it was okay the first time. Sometimes, and we're running out of time here, but sometimes when I'm talking on the cell phone, I'll be walking around, and that'll throw the reception off. Sue, why don't you take a crack at that and just talk about what kind of talents young farmers and ranchers bring to the table that are maybe going to follow with some new solutions.
Yeah, I think that our young people are very creative and looking to the future. You know, a lot of young people, when we get together, we talk about how to diversify the operation, how to diversify their income sources. They're always looking for new ideas. We just had a discussion meet with young farmers and ranchers, and one of the ideas that came out of there from the winter was a wild ideas night where young people would get together and just brainstorm, you know, ways to make their operation more financially stable, bring back to their rural community. So these young people are full of good ideas, and that's exciting for the future of agriculture.
I appreciate you guys being on the program. I appreciate the salt of the earth work that you kind of do. JM, thank you so much. We'll catch up with you down the road, okay, Mr. Peck?
Yes, thank you very much. Me.
And Sue Ann, thank you too, all right?
Thanks, Tom.
They gave $6,000 to the Montana Food Bank Network this year, and Carly Johnson won a Polaris with the Young Farmers and Ranchers program. Woo!
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483. And join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Great to have you joining us this morning. It's kind of Ag Day today here on Voices of Montana. As I mentioned, the value of agriculture in our state, you can hardly understate it. It's anywhere from $3 to $5 billion generally on a yearly basis. I think in 2018, I'm looking at a statistical page here from the Montana Department of Agriculture, $4.39 billion in 2018. There's something interesting here as well, that when you look at the total acreage in Montana, just 145,000 square miles equals 93.1 million acres, and it's 58 million acres are in land, farm and ranch production. That's 62% of our landscape in Montana. Very, very important as we look at agriculture. We're looking at a recent recovery in the wheat market. We're looking at new developments regarding processing, and maybe I want to talk about delisting as well. Hans McPherson is with us, the Montana Farm Bureau president, and also Nicole Rove is the National Affairs Director with the MFBF. First, Hans, how's it going?
Well, it's a very nice day. Thanks for having us on. And yes, Montana depends on agriculture, and we are the biggest the biggest industry in the state, and we've had some tough times, but farmers are always, always, always optimistic, and it's always a better day coming. So we look forward to it.
that certainly sounds, it's not unusual to hear that optimism coming from a farmer and a rancher, because I think when you go all in on every hand, every season, it doesn't hurt to have a little optimism, does it?
No, it doesn't, and it truly is all in on every hand. And it's been a tough year with closures and the pandemic and coronavirus everywhere, but farmers and ranchers have been in the field and on the herd, and they have kept right on producing food and fiber and fuel for the American consumer. And we want you to have and continue to provide you with the most abundant, safest food supply in the world.
Let's talk about some things that kind of get in the way. National Affairs Director is Nicole Rolfe. Nicole, I know that Miles City Community College is starting a new program that's going to help with one of the issues that we have been facing in this last year, and that is, you know, getting our cattle to market in a timely fashion because we don't have enough meat processing.
Yes, good morning. It is very exciting to have that program off the ground and rolling right along, and we're really excited that they are ready to start their first class and that they are accepting applications now and are ready to go. They've hired their instructor, and yes, it is very exciting to be able to help train the next generation, I guess you might say, of people who are going to work in the meat processing industry.
Talk about why that became such a necessity.
Sure. Well, we know here in Montana that processing has been in high demand for quite some time. In fact, before the pandemic started, it was still quite a wait to, you know, to get a date to get a beef processed or other livestock species processed as well. Of course, when you add wildlife into the mix, there's always a huge demand for that kind of processing every fall. And so it's been a busy career for the people involved in that to begin with. But when the pandemic hit hit the country, it really highlighted some strengths and weaknesses that we have in our food system. And of course, the strengths are that we are incredibly efficient and that we have large processors that are able to just really deliver the meat that our consumers demand, and of course on our end to get the animals through the final step. But then when the pandemic hit, we saw what probably no one could have ever imagined, and that was severely reduced capacities when workers at these plants started getting sick or not coming into work because they were worried about getting sick, and it had huge ripple effects throughout the country, all the way back here to Montana, where we do have smaller processors who were already busy, and then they saw huge demands with people from out of state or even in state saying, hey, can you take more animals? Can you take more animals? And the answer is they were already full. So we identified this as an issue that we could help our members with by being able to help increase some capacity, and we're very excited to know that the meat processors themselves had been looking into this and were wanting to come up with a solution for years prior. So it was kind of like the stars aligned, and it's unfortunate that it took a global pandemic to highlight this, but either way, we'll take it as a win to be able to start training some folks that will be able to help these processors here in the state expand their workforces or possibly even open their own plants one day.
Yeah, and I know there's been some money directed toward that effort, toward processing expansion through the CARES Act and various other programs of the federal government. And Nicole Rolfe, Hans McPherson, MFBF president, you might want to comment on that, but I kind of wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about the grizzly bear delisting, because I know, especially for farmers and ranchers, as we're talking about the Rocky Mountain front, the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem there, that's a long ways off from delisting, and bears are causing a lot of problems now.
Well, that's that's very true. We hope that it's not as far off as it might be, but these grizzly bears have made a recovery in the lower 48 states, and it is time to get them delisted. If you're anywhere along the Western Front, you're dealing with bears, and they're having them in the towns, and Missoula had them in town, and it's not particularly grizzly bears, but there are bears and wildlife coming in. But the grizzly bear, especially up on the Front Range, is a terrible concern for the farmers and ranchers up there having to deal with. Nicole could probably comment more on what's going on nationally with that.
Yeah, and are there tools, Nicole, that the state can enact? Are there more tools, something that can be done on the state level as we see a changing dynamic at the federal level?
Well, I think there may be. And, there's so many levels here to deal with, especially when you're talking about a listed species. And so I think if our state can really show that we are prepared and willing and excited to be able to take over management of the species, that will be a signal to the folks at the federal level that we're prepared and that we're capable of doing it. And, the state of Montana took over management of the wolf many years ago and has been successful in our management there. And so I hope that the feds take that into consideration and understand that the problems are very significant that it's causing to farmers, ranchers, but also just the general public and general safety in the area, and that they'll understand that folks here in the state will have, the firsthand knowledge and have the skills to manage the species and help protect the people and the livestock and everyone involved.
Yeah, it seems like we've got to do more. We just can't keep talking about this issue. 58 million of our 93 million total acres in our beautiful treasure state dedicated to, well, farming and ranching in some way or another, whether that's pasture range or cropland or even amount of state woodland. That's a lot of acreage, and that's why it's so important to us. And we talk about ag today here on Voices of Montana. Hans McPherson with us, MFBF president. He's also a diversified farmer from the Stevensville area. Let me ask you how the farm's going, Hans.
Farm's going pretty well. We're able to produce and raise good cattle. When you broke for this segment, you said that we're going to talk about maybe some things that are important in the agriculture front. Of course, trade is always on the top of the list.
Yep.
But there's some other things. A lot of Montana suffers from a lack of broadband. Rural broadband, especially in this pandemic, where your kids are having to do remote learning and many other things, broadband is no longer just a luxury, it's a necessity. We also have issues with mental health. Rural mental health suffers, and it's a big problem in all of rural America and Montana too. But you could take a pick of a half a dozen different things that are on the top of the list of rural Montana right now. And of course, trade economically affects us right away.
Yeah, Hans, talk about trade. Talk about, I know that the wheat prices have recovered slightly because I think China is back on the plate, so to speak, and other areas are back on the spot. But talk about the complexities of trade.
Well, it is complex. It's not a simple solution, and there's no really magic wand to make it all happen. But our biggest trading partners right now are Canada and Mexico, and we trade with them, and we've got some new agreements with China and Japan and some other countries around the world. We can't even begin to consume all the wheat and beef and cattle and stuff we produce in Montana. We have to export it, and we have to sell it. And so it's very critical to us.
Nicole, I'm going to have you as the National Affairs Director for the MFBF discuss more a little bit about broadband. And I wouldn't mind you touching on another issue that Hans had talked about, the rural mental health issue. Because from a national level, those things need to be tackled there.
Sure, yes. You know, I completely agree. We see it all over the state of Montana that broadband is a real issue and a real challenge. And it's not just for... it's not just for, you know, convenience anymore. It's very much a part of our, you know, the essential parts of our life, and is becoming more and more that way with precision agriculture, like Hans mentioned, the remote learning that rural kids are having to do these days, and just a number of other things. I mean, if we want rural Montana to stay on track with the rest of the country, or even with the with our more urban parts of our state, we're going to have broadband.
And what moves the dial?
Broadband.
What moves the dial to get more broadband? Why don't we have more?
That's a great question, and it's something that there's a lot of interest in federally. And so that's good that there's bipartisan interest in it. Now it's just about targeting the resources to the places that need it. And one thing that we were able to do during the last Congress was work on some legislation that will help improve the mapping. So it will... so we get some more reliable maps that show where places are truly served and where they're underserved. It was the case that if there was one area, one building in a fairly large geographic area served by broadband, it would mark the whole map as being served. Well, we need to make sure that just because there's a school or a hospital in that area that's showing they have broadband, it doesn't mean that somebody who lives 20 miles from town or even 1 mile from town has the same access. So improving that and then targeting resources to those areas, as USDA has really been trying to do through their rural development arm, and through, you know, legislation, we've been trying to really target it to those areas and get companies to build up the infrastructure, not necessarily where it's going to be the most profitable to them, but where it's truly needed.